Tell Dave Lister, go tell Crichton, it's time for Insert Credit Guidance. Welcome back to another side story in the ongoing Insert Credit narrative. This week we have Brandon interviewing Chibi Tech, a musician working on games in Japan who you may remember from previous episodes. I'll let Brandon take it from here.
I recorded this interview with Chibi Tech on a warm September Tokyo evening after we had driven to Akihabara from Omotesando, where we had gone record shopping. We both had specific things we were looking for at the record shop. Neither of us found them, so we just drove back. The first time I ever met Chibi Tech, aka Jalen Nisperos, was actually in Tokyo as well, not too long after she had moved there from the Bay Area. We met up at the 80s J-pop bar in Nakano, and I kind of came to grips with how long I had been aware of her music at that time. If you don't know her professional work yourself, she's primarily worked with M2 on a lot of their titles, doing menu music for the Sonic 1 and 2 iPhone ports, sound effects for Kokuga, and even menu music on the Game Gear Mini. She's written extra tracks for the newer ports of Fantasy Zone and OutRun on the 3DS. If you've seen those, they're very excellent. She's also done a lot of chiptunes and tracker stuff, which is what I knew her for at the time. I first heard her work while I was in college, and that would be the Miko Miko Nurse cover that I mentioned in the interview itself, but her music was generally kind of getting around in nerd circles. The first time I went to Paris, I was staying at my friend Tongi's flat, and he was listening to chiptunes a lot at the time. There weren't really that many people doing it as an art form in those days, which was around 2004, and he was really impressed with this one particular track which he was blasting while he took a shower. And that song was Pheromone Overdosage by Chibi Tech. It had that driving beat and virtuosic melody that almost felt like it had been run through a vocalizer. And I can still see Tongi in my mind's eye just like pumping his fists to this thing as he came out of the shower wearing a towel. So this was my first time actually asking her about her musical origins, and for some reason I chose to do it in front of a busker who was singing their heart out in front of Akihabara Station. I thought it would make for interesting ambiance, but instead I just made it harder for Esper to edit. After the interview, she drove me back to my place in Koenji while blasting freestyle music with the top down. I've also gotten some special permission from Chibi Tech to use one of her tracks in full at the end of this podcast, so stick around for that if you haven't heard her work. Hello. Doing the interview portion of my podcast now. As promised, I'm now talking to Chibi Tech in front of Akihabara Station, where there is some sort of performer singing some sort of a thing, and they're not too bad, I guess. I mean, better than me. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you some about your origins in music and kind of how you got started, because I first heard of you with your NES chiptunes work.
Right. So where should I start on this? Because like,
Well, is that where you started?
That is definitely not where I started when it comes okay. to like music. So, I was exposed to like computer music, well, and basically music in general, like pretty much since like a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. Like every Asian family, they, you know, they subjected me to like a, you know, piano lessons and stuff. Right. But specifically, like I started doing computer music when I was 5 years old.
Oh wow! And what were you using to do that at five?
It probably will give out my age right here, but like I started out with an Amiga 1000, which, you know, I'm pretty sure your listeners probably know about, you know the whole story about like the Amiga computers, and like we were one of the very few families in America who actually had an Amiga.
It wasn't really that popular here. What led your family to get an Amiga?
So my dad, he used to work at the Ampex. His coworkers were like Nolan Bushnell and Nolan Bushnell ended up starting up Atari.
Yeah.
and you know, they created like, you know, like obviously like the Atari VCS and like the Atari 8-bit computers. And my dad knew, like Nolan Bushnell started like creating like a kind of like a Skunkworks kind of team, mm-hmm. you know, in order to create the Amiga.
Yeah.
In the end. And but you know, that's a story. That's another story that, you know, obviously I won't talk about. But like, but my dad knew about that, and like he bought an Amiga, you know, just because like it was kind of like the thing that his old coworker used to, you know, yeah. that was involved in.
Yeah, out of loyalty almost.
Right. Or at least, you know, like
or his, familiarity.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so you started at age 5, doing like Amiga tracker stuff?
So I started out with like all the basic stuff. I don't know, like there was this one program that like my first exposure to music in general, which were not trackers. It was called the Music Studio, and also like Instant Music and the Deluxe Music Construction Set.
And, right.
They were kind of like, you know, centered towards like pure music theory in general, you know, with like staff notation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, which, you know, you can't compose electronic music out of it, but it just, you know, it doesn't have like the low level fine tuned granularity that the trackers had.
Yeah.
Which for that, like, I started doing trackers when I was like my dad got a disc.
Uh-huh.
From like a swap, you know, one of those so-called swap meets.
Yeah.
In like, you know, computer clubs. It contained a version of Soundtracker, which is, you know, like a popular like tracker software back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it came with like with various demo songs, and I used to like just study the hell out of those demo songs, and like you know, that's basically how I ended up like learning my tracker chops from that.
Wow! So starting at age 5, that's probably earlier than a lot of people. People often say like it's never too late to stop, but also to start. But some people start
right
before anyone could even imagine.
Right.
When did you sort of break out into people knowing your music, would you say?
Okay, so that tracker knowledge like helped me later on in like, you know, because like I was always interested in like NES music, but I used to always like just you know, take like my Amiga sampler and just like sample like sound tests from like games like Ninja Gaiden and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just use those sampled instruments, which, you know, they were basically like, you know, simple like NES synthesized stuff.
Kind of like sound suites.
Yeah. And nowadays you would call that fake bit, pretty much.
Mm.
But my friend Joey Parcell, who would like, you know, he was part of like he's part of the NES dev community.
Mm-hmm.
And he one day like looked at like my tracker work, like that I put online. You know, as like my personal stuff that I, you know, it was just for fun. And he said, hey, I have this software, you know, from my friend who, you know, it's called Nerd Tracker. And, you know, you might be interested on it. You know, it's a little bit finicky, but like, you know, but, you know, you might be interested. And so I started messing around with that. And despite it being like, probably like a very, very, very user unfriendly tracker, mm-hmm. I quickly, you know, looked beyond that and realized how powerful it actually was. And so I started like really, you know, figuring out how it worked. And cue to 2001, actually no, make that 2002,
mm-hmm.
when a Japanese guy named Izumi-san like created like a like what is considered the first competition for
Famicom music?
Yeah,
for
Famicom music.
Yeah.
And it was called Famicompo.
Yeah, Famicompo.
And I entered, so my entry, like I entered this like a cover song for...
Was that Miko Miko Nurse?
Yes, that was the one where, you know, like, it ended up being, like, a song for, like, an eroge
game.
Even though most of it, like, you know, was, like, I just saw this from, like, a Dempa song kind of, like, a listing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one, and I believe we covered that on Insert Credit in 2002.
Yes.
Because we were talking about the Famicompo and how cool it was, and Miku Miku Nurse cover was, like, one of the standout tracks to us, I guess.
Right. Yeah, which is a shame, because, like the second place entry, like, was an original track, and, that one deserved, like, just flat out deserved to, like, win the competition, but, like...
Memes were powerful even then.
Yes.
And so then, like, some years later, I was at my friend's house in Paris, and he was like, have you heard this awesome Famicom song? And it was Oni-chan Dakarai-yo.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was really... That was the big one for me at that time.
Right.
So then, from there, how did you make... the jump into professional music that people were paying you for.
Right, so for Miko Miko Nurse, actually, specifically, since that was actually quite high profile in like the Japanese game development community. And so my current boss, you know, for M2, like he noticed like that the Miko Miko Nurse, Nurse cover.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess he kept that in mind for a long while. And, you know, this was when I was still in, college.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, so I was still, like, you know, trying to, like, earn my degree to, like, you know, get something. And, like I had, like, you know, becoming, a game musician was, like, definitely not on my, on, you know, what I had planned.
Right.
For my future. Just because, like, I just planned to, like, just merely be, like, I was kind of, like, at that time, I was, like, kind of drifting... you know, between, like, you know, being kind of going towards, like computer science, which I completely did not do good on.
Uh-huh.
Versus, like, you know, something else, like, say, you know, just becoming, like, an audio engineer for, like, a production company, for mm-hmm. instance. And I ended up trying to, like, you know, go towards that that kind of, like, degree.
Yeah. And so... did you get someone reached out to you to do some professional work, or did you start seeking it? Or
yeah, so actually, like, just very shortly after I actually graduated from college, I got an offer from a company that named Russell. They wanted me to make, like, basically an NES soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was specifically for at the time, a popular anime series called Zero No Skyma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was specifically supposed to be for a bonus shooting game that was supposed to be included, you know, with their main visual novel,
mm-hmm.
like a game for that they were going to release for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I did that soundtrack for, you know, for Zero No Skyma.
Mm-hmm.
That I did that all, like, most of that in the Mountain View Public Library, actually.
Oh, nice.
Like, I was, like, just taking my laptop to, like, this library and, like, just putting on my headphones and, like, just basically cranking out all these tunes for it.
That's cool. And then from there, was
it was basically like a remote work.
Right, kind of course. And and then once you had some professional stuff under your belt, it was easier then to get more? Because that's what I found. It's like, when you have no experience, it's very hard to break in. But then once you have, I have done X for this game, then it's pretty easy to move forward. Well, relatively easy anyway.
Right. Yeah, like shortly after, like my, the team who were working on this game, they were, you know, I could kind of tell they weren't setting high expectations, but regardless, I still wanted to make a high quality soundtrack for this, and they ended up being really really impressed with what I did. So my boss ended up, like, just saying flat out, saying, "Hey, do you want to work in Japan? And
right after that?
Yeah.
Ah.
And
wow.
So, you know, basically I said, okay, well, I'm willing to make the jump to go to Japan. And so they basically brought me here.
And now you're here. And now you're in-house at a company, which is somewhat unusual these days for musicians in general, because it's mostly freelance these days, it feels.
Yeah, even in Japan, like, you know, most of it is all just contract work. So
yeah.
I am kind of in an unusual situation.
Yeah, it's a unique spot. So I guess this is a tough one because everyone has their own unique path, but is there any advice you would give someone who wants to work in Japan and wants to work with Japanese companies? People ask me this question all the time. I have various different answers to give them. What would you say?
Well, probably related to the previous one, I would say that make sure you get your contract, like you set your terms, like very straight.
Yeah.
And don't just jump into it like just saying, oh well, you know, I'll just let them handle it.
Yeah.
Because it'll probably screw you in the long run.
Yeah, that makes sense. And any hints in terms of how to actually get noticed or get recognition? Like my buddy Vincent Diamante, he did an anime soundtrack recently, well, just ending theme, and that came about because people in Japan like the game Sky that he did the music for.
Right.
And it, but for most people other than myself, it seems to be mostly like people here in Japan noticed something that a Westerner did and was like, I like that. I should talk to them.
Right. Yeah,
although Vince did apply for that one, so but they instantly recognized him. That was when, I don't know if you heard me tell this story, but they said, of course we want to work with the world-famous Vincent Diamante.
Right.
And I was like, you should get the world-famous Vincent Diamante on a t-shirt and wear it around. But yeah, any thoughts there?
Yeah, so I don't know. See, I'm in kind of an unusual situation where I was like just basically pulled.
Yeah, you were kind of scouted.
Yeah, but for people breaking out, yeah, I mean, I don't want to like sound like all cliche about it, but like, you know, just work with you know, specifically with like Japanese composers, like, you know, say, hey, like you know, I kind of want like a you know, I like your stuff or whatever, and like possibly like see for instance, actually this is a good question actually, because like Miko Miko Nurse actually got me noticed by the original artist who created that song himself.
Right.
And I think that specifically, you know, like it actually like helped him like recommend me to my current boss, because I know that they knew it, they know each other too.
That makes sense. And you do actually kind of sometimes hear about people doing covers of things actually get the notice of the people who did the original. I mean, like, this is a ridiculous example, but god darn lead singer of Journey right now is that Filipino guy who was in the cover band.
Aww.
When they needed a new singer, and then they were like looking around for a singer, and then they found this guy who just could do all the songs perfectly.
Right.
And they're like, well, let's hire this guy. It's kind of a different story, but it's like, I guess any kind of way to get noticed. But you also look today at people doing TikTok covers of things, and they actually can get a little bit of notice from the original singer, and that can give them some something.
Right, like it leads to like a domino effect kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, basically, I mean, so, like nowadays, I don't, like, do covers.
Right.
And I do think it's kind of like a cop-out to, like, you know, basically do covers and, like, you know, just get noticed from that.
Yeah.
But it really is kind of a, you know, it is one avenue that you can do.
Yeah, it's one sort of a shortcut. Well, on that note, I hope you've been able to hear this. Maybe we were sitting a little too close to this singing person.
Right.
But fingers crossed, and we'll be back with some more conversations with some other people that live and work here in Tokyo, Japan, and Kyoto later, probably also. And that's it for now. You want to say bye forever?
Yes, bye forever.
Insert Credit Gaiden is a production of Insert Credit. This episode featured an interview by Brandon Sheffield with Chibi Tech and an intro by Alex Jaffe. This episode was edited by me, Esper Quinn, and features original music by Kurt Feldman. Here's the track Pheromone Overdosage by Chibi Tech, available at chibitech.bandcamp.com. Enjoy.
Are you still here? Are you still here? Well, it's a good thing you are, because Chibitech has allowed us to play another song of hers. That first one was indeed Pheromone Overdosage, which I mentioned in the interview and in the preamble. But she would prefer if people paid more attention to her newer stuff. Obviously, since that was one of my points of entry for her, I had to share that one. But her newer stuff you can find on Bandcamp at chibitech.bandcamp.com. And this one is off of her new EP, newish EP, I should say, Crema Binaria, which is super excellent. Also still chiptunesy, full original compositions. This is Ameido no Jikan, which is rainy time. Check it out. You're going to like it. Okay, this is really it. No more secret stuff after this, I promise. Just enjoy this song. Okay, bye.